What are we talking about today?
I think we're going to talk about the expo and some expo stories and, you know, how we think that expos can improve their numbers, but also some things that they're doing really well that people need to know about.
Oh. So we're going to tell the expos how to run themselves?
Yeah. That's what we do best, right? Is
be controlling.
That's what I do best.
That I know. All right. Let's roll the intro and get started. Well, welcome back to what is the title of this podcast?
Horse and Home. I think we should leave
It's been a long weekend. Yeah. Welcome back to Horse and Home Podcast. We are bringing this to you out here in California at the Western States Horse Expo. So you might be hearing a lot of background noise. That's because we're actually doing this at the booth. Yep. And so we thought we would kind of bring you a little bit of a podcast talking about
these expos that have been going on. There's been, you know, the expo has been going on for a lot of years.
Oh my goodness, many years.
You know, on the East Coast, we have where we were from we had the Maryland Horse World Expo, the Pennsylvania one,
and Horse World Expo, and then there was one in Virginia for many years.
I think there still is.
No, it's called the Horse Festival now, so it's not really expo. It's a bit different, and it's you know.
Well, we had the Maryland Horse World Expo shut down, I think, after it's been like 20 years that it had been going on.
Yeah, it shut down, last year, the year before?
Yeah. And there's a lot of expos all over the country, and there are still a few that are really going strong. And, you know, we're out here at this Western States Horse Expo, and you certainly recognize that maybe numbers are not as strong as they have been in the past.
I've heard from a couple people that there used to be 5 or 6 buildings and now we're down to 1.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, like the people here are so wonderful.
And I think that's what we wanted to talk about is I think we wanted to give our take as a vendor and exhibitor and clinician, our take on things that are going correct, that people need to know about that's still here, but also maybe our opinion on how we think that they can draw more numbers in.
Well, I think the number one thing they're doing correct is having me here. What do you think?
I don't know that Danielle and I would agree.
So for context purpose, Danielle is a person that was actually doing our demos over the last few days and with her newly adopted horse. And what's really great about her, if you're listening in from California, you may have seen the demos. She has a great personality, and for some reason her and Grace has really teamed up against me.
I think that's what it takes. Is people like teaming up against you. Absolutely.
So, you know, I think the very first important thing to talk about is where the industry is kind of going at a very generalized rate is, you know, everything, of course, is going online.
Well, and everybody comes to these expos, right? And then they'll stop and talk to us and they'll complain to us.
Yeah.
But I'll see their hands empty. Yeah. You know, they'll say, well, this expo's smaller. And I'll say, what are you purchasing, you know, this weekend? What do you want your big purchases to be? And they'll say, well, I'm just here to watch. Yeah. I'm here to watch the clinics. And that's great, right? That's what we want, right? We want you to watch Scott's clinics and come talk to us. But the fact of the matter is these vendors can't keep paying $1,500 to $2,000 or $2,500 a booth if you're not going to buy their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So each year, sales are going to online because people are not buying here, but then they come and they complain that the expo is getting smaller. Well, yeah, because vendors aren't making it up. They're not making it up.
Well, what people end up doing is they really go and, you know, and they'll admit to it that, you know, they want to go and feel. People love to shop and they love to feel an item. And once they feel it, then they, you know, they try to go online to try to find it cheaper, or they write it down and they might buy it later or something like that. But a lot of times, you know, the online sales end up getting most people.
That brings us to another topic, which is, you know, clinics and clinicians and exhibitors. How many times can you see the same people? But the fact of the matter is, too, everybody, all clinicians are easily accessible online today, whether it's YouTube, an online membership,
Apple
on
podcasts.
Television, podcasts, right? Clinicians are so easily accessible. And let's be really honest, trainers, quote unquote, are a dime a dozen. You can go on Craigslist for Pete's sake and find a trainer in your area. I'm not saying they're good. I'm just saying there are trainers everywhere. So training videos.
I advertise on Craigslist.
Yeah. So training videos also are so accessible from home, from your phone. So you don't really have to go and watch Scott Purdom in person because he has so many other outlets that you can watch from at the barn. You don't have to drive 6 hours to an expo.
That's true. But there is something though, being one-on-one, hands-on, or you know, visually seeing in person. There's a lot of nuances that on video is really difficult to see. There's a lot of things, little pieces of the puzzle that you can't really get when you're watching it on a video. And as much as you know, of course, we've got a lot of video content and trying to continue to grow, and just like this podcast, trying to get more and more content out there. There's really nothing like seeing it in person, though, and seeing it in real time in person.
I do agree, because I also can watch a lot of training videos, and then sometimes when I see clinicians in person, and they have an entire hour to work with a horse, I can see what they actually can accomplish in real time.
Oh yeah, well, there's
without
editing.
Yeah, and so sometimes that's really cool, and other times I don't think it works in their benefit, because I can see that they have clearly edited the majority of their television shows. And their training videos online. And that's something that we highly pride ourselves in. All of our 23-minute television shows are filmed in a 30-minute
Well, most of them,
frame.
when it's just me working with the horse for a specific goal. You know, sometimes there's some editing.
When we have
that
other
goes
trainers
on,
we tend to purposely get more content in hopes of making a second show out of it. Like, that's something that we have always prided ourselves in, that I know all of our interns and apprentices over the years could even back up and be like, there's not a lot of editing for Scott and Grace's shows. What you see is real-time training.
So do you think that's because we want to pride ourselves on that, or is it because we're lazy?
I think it's a mixture of both. No, I think it's something that we like to pride ourselves in, because I know that on your television shows, you'll state at the end of, you know, the 23-30 minute show, you'll state that you didn't get as far as you wanted to, but that's okay because you're doing this in real time. And that's what people need to see, that they're going to be able to accomplish at home.
Yeah. And the thing is, that's really great about expos, that once, you know, if an expo in your area ends up dying off, what you're never going to get back is the ability to see so many different perspectives and thoughts and training methods in one place. You know, of course, you can always, like I said, go to the internet for it, but you're not going to be able to see so many different things in one place. And even vendor-wise, you know, when we were years ago, when I used to do upwards of 16 expos, I remember going and really started becoming friends with all the different vendors, and they were going all over the place across the country, and they were they were selling their stuff, and you know, from this show to this show to this show, and you know, I'd always hear about, you know, decrease in sales constantly, but these vendors, they're just unfortunately having to die off now because of the industry and the way it's gone. But again, once it dies off, you're never going to have such a, I don't know if this is the right word, eclectic, group of vendors, different things that you're going to be able to see. Where are you going to see, you know, some fancy clothes store and saddles right next to each other? Like, they're just, you don't get
well,
that.
And round pens, which we're looking at.
Yeah. So you told me you had stories. What story from this weekend you want to talk about?
I don't know necessarily that I have a favorite story for this weekend that I can tell on your podcast.
Is there a difference in podcast?
Well, Danielle and I had a nice discussion about this weekend.
Oh.
So maybe you can like blog some of that in there somehow. Like,
oh, kind of edit that in.
Yeah, edit okay. that in somehow. Can you hear me, Danielle? We are on.
Where does this go to?
His podcast.
Oh, this is Scott's podcast.
We're being recorded.
So what?
So Danielle, how did you feel about working with Scott for 3 days?
Well, as you know, I had to travel with Scott to Portugal earlier this year and just finished therapy about 2 weeks ago to have worked through that. But I felt very confident to face my fears this weekend and was able to utilize some tools that I learned in my deep, deep electric shock therapy.
Well, Danielle, I'm still in therapy. How long do you think it's going to take me to get through this?
Well, let's see. We were in Portugal in March, and I just finished last week. So I would say for you, maybe another year or so. Thanks a lot, Scott.
So if you had to tell people one thing about Scott, the most important thing to know, what would it be?
Have a really good sense of humor and don't be offended. And wine, lots and lots of wine.
I think this expo has been one of my favorites because for the last, I don't know, how long have you been doing expos? 15 years?
Something
ridiculous. I feel like this is our first year, 2019, of expoing that you and I have both been ourselves out in public. And so I think this has been one of my favorite expos because I have felt that I can be me, my personality. And my personality, sometimes I'm embarrassed to be who I am. And this is, I think...
I feel like I could say a few things there.
You could. But I see a change in you too for this expo. And so I think my favorite thing about this expo is that you and I have truly been who we are behind closed doors.
So you're saying I'm becoming more amazing?
Sure, 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 honey.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I get.
I know that's what your therapist says to say, so we'll go there.
That's what my mom said.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a huge thing. And for us, we're always in the public eye. Social media or expos, right, or clinics. We're so open that sometimes we feel like we can't be us because we're going to lose clients then. And I think that's ridiculous because at the end of the day, it's not about what my sense of humor is like. It's about how well I can work with you, teach you, and train your horse. And I think people lose, they lose sight of that. And they might not like your jokes, your woman jokes. And so they forget that they're actually here to watch your progression with a horse at the expo. And they get offended that you made a joke about me. You know, a joke that I didn't get offended about, even though it was about me. You know, and so this is the first expo that I really feel like we let down. We are who we are, and we've had a really good time.
We didn't let the expo down.
No, we let down. Like we let all of our walls down. We let all of our security down. And it's a huge thing for me, I think, to sit back and watch. And we've had a really good outpouring of support.
Yeah,
we've had a lot of people coming back that have enjoyed your sense of humor.
Good.
And a lot of people that felt sorry for me.
As they should.
I agree. And so for me, that's probably my best. I don't know that I have a story. I just have a feeling. I'm leaving here feeling good because I was who I was.
Here's a funny story.
I was who I am.
Oh, Lord. Now she's
cut that part out.
She's going to be in grammar school now. So here's a funny.
This is like my sixth glass of wine, so.
Oh, is that when you start to get mean now? So here's just kind of a funny story, being out here in California. Now, you know, those who know me, you know, obviously have a good sense of humor and we joke a lot. And, you know, I sometimes will have some interesting, funny women jokes. And if you are a person who gets offended, I'm sorry to hear that. But it obviously never comes from a place of negativity, but more of a place of humor. And what's funny was here in California, we made, there was a time in one of the demos where we talked about, you know, I said, you know, if my wife comes in with a black eye, y'all know why now, because she backtalked me, you know, and made the joke. And later on, and this woman wasn't condemning me, by the way, when she came up to me, but she says, you know, you're in California there. You got to be careful what you say with that, because, you know, that's taken very seriously here. And listen, I'm first off not, I'm not condoning, obviously any kind of physical abuse or harm, but I am having that sense of humor right now. What's funny about the story is not that, but this morning, Grace is putting her shoes on, and she's putting her shoes on and she literally just like falls over. And she was, as she's falling, she was falling right next to the desk in the hotel room, and she caught herself. From falling face first into the desk. And then what did you say after that?
Oh, well, I caught myself with one hand, from falling. And the first thing that came to mind was, oh my God, could you imagine if I had face planted into a wooden desk, busted my face open, and showed up at the expo with like bruises and black eyes?
And the thing is, I would have gone with it. And I said, you know, you all were questioning if she back talks. Now you know. but in being who we are is obviously very important, and we want people to have a good time. And if you don't have a good time, why did you get into, you know, this sport to begin with? And honestly, you really need to be in the sport, or be in life to have a good time, not just a sport. You need to.
I couldn't get through life without joking. I think that life has so many ups and downs, and there's so many hard times that people go through that you have to be able to laugh and joke the remainder of the 90% of your life.
Yeah.
You know, being an equestrian and having a farm like we do and a facility like we do. And God, this year has been one of our hardest for the loss of Horse. Without laughter in my life, like where would I be? Mm. How would I pick myself back up?
It's a good thing you have me.
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't know if that's a good thing?
No, it's a good thing.
Yeah, no, I think so. And you know, when we talk about human, we, you know, humor is how we get through. But at the same time, the next thing that goes along with it is kindness. And I know it sometimes doesn't even feel like it's being kind when you're making a derogatory type joke. But, you know, it really comes from a place of kindness and really... again, that fun place, and you know, we want to breed kindness, you know, towards one another.
So. We do, and we're, you know, we preach it to our children, we preach it to our friends, we preach it to our clients. You know, we talk about it on the Leadership Club, that we don't condone negativity and bashing of other people, you know, and bashing of disciplines, and
yeah.
You know, however, there are multiple times that Scott and I might make a snide or sarcastic comment about something.
More me than you.
True story. True story.
Yeah.
You know, but I also know that each of us are the type of person that gives without expectation at the end of the day. And, you know, like that time that we were in Montana. You might not remember this. I specifically remember we were in Montana and we had the camper behind us and we were pulling out of a Safeway with our children. And there was somebody who was, by looks, homeless, holding a sign asking for food or money. And I had a box of Nutri-Grain bars, an unopened box, in the truck with us. And I told our then 9-year-old to roll down his window and hand this gentleman the box of Nutri-Grain bars. And our 9-year-old was really excited to give somebody a box of our food. So I had our 9-year-old roll down his window and hand this gentleman, you know, the whole box of Nutri-Grain bars, which was the only thing I had put in the truck that afternoon for all of us to munch on during the next few hours.
Yeah,
there wasn't
that.
Anything else. You know, I had, that was what I had packed for us.
Yeah.
But I think it's important that our children grow up giving more than taking.
And I think that's really just a really great all around lesson to to not only learn but remember. And, you know, I have a demo here coming up, so we're going to have to stop this podcast here in just a second. But I think we should really leave people on this understanding of remember to be kind. Remember.
Actually, I don't want to end yet.
Oh, okay.
Because we're talking about kindness, and something happened to you for the first time in a long time. Something happened to you yesterday morning that that made you almost feel uncomfortable a little bit.
Well, I don't know if uncomfortable is the right word. Uncomfortable.
Made your brain start working. Yeah,
I think that's a better way.
So what happened yesterday morning?
So yesterday morning I was, we separated for breakfast because you were still getting ready, and I went down and ate breakfast at the hotel restaurant. And it's a really nice restaurant, kind of expensive for breakfast anyway. So there's this woman that came up to me, and she came up to me while I was eating, and she shook my hand and she said, you know, I watched your demo yesterday. You did a really great job. Really appreciate it. And then she moved on. She went off to, you know, to go pay up front. And it was really interesting because, you know, I thought it was a great transaction first off. You know, sometimes when you're sitting down there, people come up to you and they'll say a great job, but then they'll start talking to you about their horse problems. And this lady, she literally just said, great job, moved on, shook my hand. And then she went up and paid for herself. Well, after she left, she the waiter came over to me and said, you know, I just want to let you know that this woman paid for you and paid your meal. And I was kind of dumbfounded because it was she didn't look for appreciation. She didn't look for a thanks. She literally just wanted to be kind. And when she was being kind, she didn't want anything in return. And so I thought it was really important. It just really made me think. Yeah, and uncomfortable is not the right word, because it really made me think about the sheer fact that kindness is key here, is king. And so we need to be a little bit more kind. So because of that, I know this weekend alone, we did a really great thing of paying it forward to a couple hundred people. And we gave away like 3 free months of our leadership club. And, you know, with no strings attached, no, you know, nothing that they had to do other than put in their login information. And, you know, literally just wanted to pay something forward with that. And they only literally had to do 2 things. They, one, had to sign up. And number two, I asked them to do to return the favor, not to me, but to pay it forward themselves. And I thought, and I think that paying it forward is just another way that that we need to remember to be kind to everybody. And paying it forward is just an easy way of doing it. So I really, really, I advise everybody to go out there, and whether it's just being kind or paying it forward.
Pay for the car behind you in the drive-thru.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's super simple.
Do some, unless it's expensive. And that,
most drive-thrus aren't expensive. Let's be honest.
So, anyway, kindness is king, and I think that's where we're going to leave you on. Is, you know, be kind to one another.
And if you came to the expo this weekend, why don't you leave a review of just good, just the good things?
Let's just not leave it to the people who are reviewing from the expo. Just anyone reviewing anything.
That's right.
That should be the real big
people
thing.
People always pick out the negative and
right,
review
way
on
more,
that.
There's
pick
way more
out
negative
the positive.
And, reviews. So pick out the positive, leave a positive review.
This expo has been one of our favorites.
Yeah, and leave a positive review with the expo people. And more so, if you're on Apple Podcast, make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And remember that if you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all.
That's
with
right.
that, we will see you next time on Horse and Home.